It's time to suffer. Hey, everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back for another Drunk and Dangerous. If this is your first time, escape now. It's still not too late, because we're once again continuing, and I think we might get to the very end of it. Fingers crossed. The Whore Next Door, part one. Mind you, there is a second part, which, you know, if you want to continue on to part two after, tell me in the comments. Otherwise, you know, if you don't, also say so, because it's probably going to be my default next, because, you know, I will have to find out what happens to all of the horrible people in this story. I don't think a single one of these people is likable. They're all awful and violent and depraved. So we're continuing on to that. I am high as a fucking kite. And we're on to chapter 12. Last part, just abuse continued on to abuse and etc. I mean, that's really, you really don't need more than that. Everybody's batshit crazy and going to kill everybody. And the detective is like, the missing woman. So there you go. Chapter 12. As soon as she heard Gladeye's car take off, she was inside of the attic going through Canary's diary that she was dying to read. She started with the book labeled Book One, and it took her through Canary's and Gladeye's early college dating. Oh yeah, Canary and, what's-her-face, the murder lady. They're sisters. Unaware that they are sisters, but they're sisters, so that's the big thing we learned last time. Oh, boy. She sighed as she read through what Canary described as her encounters with her soulmate. The sex scenes that Canary described, oh, God, made Tan's middle extremely moist. You made the least sexy, congratulations, that's the least sexy term for a woman getting wet and aroused that I've ever heard, a moist middle, an M&M, it's an M&M. Damn, baby, I'm going to give you so many M&Ms over and over. It's going to be like a family-sized bag, peanut, no nut, you know what I mean? M&Ms, moist middles, that's also your sister, like, gross. Oh no, he's making it worse. With a book in one hand, she fingered her middle. That's like you're poking your belly button. Fuck off, I can't. She fingered her middle with the other as she read on. Page after page after page. Wow, she really likes to write about sex. Who is she, me? Canary described intricate details of their love life. And Tan was enjoying every bit of it, so much so that she had at least 5 orgasms before she even got to the middle of the diary. Tan was, what about the fact that he's like a rapist? That just doesn't play in. Tan was in the zone when she heard Spall talking gibberish over the baby monitor that she kept with her at all times. Hold that thought, she said to the diary as she put it in the box that she had gotten it out of and lightly folded the page to mark where she had left off. When she went upstairs, Spall was throwing balls out of his playpen. What are you doing, baby boy? She asked as she grabbed the hand sanitizer off of the nightstand, rubbed a little in her hand, and then she picked up Spall. Why do we care? Why do we fucking care? Good, I'm glad she's keeping track of her hygiene. It's a very, the murder is bad, but you know, the hygiene is good, so it kind of evens out. Wow, little boy, you're getting so heavy, she cooed at the boy as he smiled. It was almost hard to believe that Spall was almost hitting the terrible two stages. She could tell that it would indeed be terrible because already she had to block off all the stairs in the house and close all of the sockets with protectors because he was into everything. Isn't that fucking normal for a toddler? Like, that's, he's not crazy. That's like every toddler. They're basically trying to kill themselves. And a parent has to stop them from, like, running in front of a bus at all opportunities, you know? Hey, baby, she said, turning her attention back to Spall. Are you hungry, little boy? She asked as she headed to the kitchen with Spall in her arms. Once in the kitchen, she sat at the table feeding Spall oatmeal while she ate along with him. I like to think it's like baby oatmeal. Just like, a spoon for you, a spoon for me. Maybe she puts it in her mouth and like spits it out like a bird. She began thinking of the things that she had just read in Canary's diary. She thought about how she managed to win over Glad-Eye and become his wife. As far as Tan was concerned, she had it made in the shade. Yes, which you got through murder. Like, it's kind of a big deal. Plus, made in the shade, he rapes and beats you. He choked you unconscious. This isn't made in the shade. He also cheats repeatedly. Are you off your... She is, of course. She's fucking insane. Made in the shade with your rapist abuser. You lucky bitch. Everyone wishes they could have someone like that. He almost killed you. He choked you out and you woke up the next fucking morning. You definitely have brain damage. Something is happening. Especially because you're like, yeah, haha, I killed you. And now I took your place as the raped abuse victim. Woohoo! Yeah. Party time. And also you've considered murdering him, like, multiple times. So I don't really think... Like, this is as good a relationship as you are telling yourself. Will you get off to the diary of the woman you killed? Fucking weird. Although Glad-Eye got a little besides himself with his anger every now and again, overall she felt he was a good catch. He literally has fucked multiple people within, like, the first couple of chapters. He was just banging a ton of women. He's... literally the opposite. If he was poor, you would not be interested in this man. It is just his money. I know how to fix that motherfucker, she joked to herself as she thought about the poison that she'd sprinkled in his food a few weeks back. Yeah, apparently she's like, it's so good with him. He's overall a good man. I just tried to poison him. All right. So lucky. I see it worked, too, she continued with the thought. He hasn't raised his voice or so much as laid one finger on me since. She bragged out loudly, but it wasn't in quotes. It was in the same italics he used for her thoughts. How was I supposed to know that? I am just a boss bitch, right, Spall? She asked as he talked baby gibberish. My thoughts exactly. She laughed wickedly, like a woman whose mind had gone bad. Yeah, years ago, she murdered the woman. And she's like, you know, I'm glad I poisoned the guy who was raping me to stop. Otherwise, it's a good relationship. You just gotta poison them a little bit when they're doing stuff you don't like. Like, for a treat, you get a little cheese. For a punishment, you get a little poison. But, you know, who am I to say? I've never tried it, but apparently it works. You know, better guard my mind against going bad. Are you sure, Doc? Glad-Eye said, standing up and pacing to the door as Dr. Evans looked on. I'm afraid so, Mr. Davis. The analysts that I sent your labs to are very thorough in their work. I would think that is a good thing for you. Right? Oh, it's a girl. Hold on, I'm going to make her really feminine. I'm sorry. Maybe she had a mouth. I don't know.
I'm afraid so, Mr. Davis. The analysts that I sent your labs to are very thorough in their work. I would think that is a good thing for you, right?
She asked, looking at Glad-Eye.
At least you know that your wife is not trying to poison you, because we didn't find anything in the samples you had given us.
So how would you explain the traces of arsenic that you found in my system?
He asked, agitated. He wasn't really upset with her. He was just mad that the pieces of the puzzle weren't coming together like he figured they would.
There could be several explanations for your sudden sickness. You could have gotten that from eating out. The only conclusion that I can make today is that the samples of food that you had given me for testing did not have any traces of arsenic in it.
I know I'm not tripping, Gladeye thought to himself as he walked to his car. Yeah, he doesn't trip. He's very smooth. Shit. Maybe I assumed the Tan was trying to poison me when in fact I could have gotten food poisoning from any random place.
Yeah, any random place with arsenic in their food. That's just any random. Where are you eating from? Where you're like, oh shit. Right, I ate from the dumpster outside of that medical waste plant. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. His mind was racing like a horse. Giddy up. He was so focused on his thoughts that he didn't see the blue pickup truck until it was right up on him. Please get killed by a truck. Hilarious. Screech! The driver swerved his truck, almost hitting the two pedestrians that were waiting for the light.
Wake up, asshole!
It's two separate words. The driver yelled as he gained control over the truck he was driving and continued down the street.
Go to hell,
Gladeye said, although the driver was way out of range by the time he responded like a big fat pussy. Gladeye got in the car and drove to the Farm Fresh supermarket. Ooh. He ran in, got two bottles of Moscato, and then he stopped to get some take Italian food before heading home to his wife. He had felt bad that he had blamed his wife and was now on his way home to make it up to her. Yes, we could obviously extrapolate that from what you... Okay, but your relationship isn't good if you got sick and you immediately thought, oh, my wife did it because I've been raping and beating her. If it turned out she hadn't poisoned you, you're still in a bad position if you're thinking, oh no, my partner is poisoning me, is then followed by, and I deserve it, which is basically what he said. And it's like, this isn't solved. Just because they didn't find arsenic in this food doesn't mean there still isn't arsenic in the rest of your food. And it also means your relationship is shit. You should not think your partner has the right to kill you because you're so shitty to them. Like, if that doesn't make you reconsider every action you take, nothing will. He, like, cut his brake lines and he's like, well, I guess they could have been cut anywhere. Oh, I feel bad. I mean, sure, I choked her to unconsciousness again. You know, she has two black eyes, but... You know, I'm sure I just drove... It's probably that patch of knives I drove over earlier. But anyway, he's bringing her Italian food, so it's all good. He's not going to learn his lesson, I'm sure, because he's been abusing forever. So I don't think he can at this point. Tan... Oh, no, he's going to catch you reading the diary. Tan was up in Gladeye's office reading Canary's diary. Why wouldn't you lock yourself in the bathroom if you were going to do something with something illicit that you don't want your abusive spouse to see you reading? Like, why wouldn't you lock the door? Well, it wouldn't be convenient, I suppose. You'd have to take an axe and here's Gladeye, you know. She paused for a moment just to take in her surroundings. She was dying to find out why the hell Gladeye had all of this equipment and operating tables up in his office. He never mentioned it. She was racking her brain trying to figure out what he needed all the equipment that surrounded her when her eyes came across something in Canary's diary that made her skin crawl. He hit me so hard in the face that I was literally seeing stars. That wasn't the first time, and it definitely wasn't the last. Ain't this some shit? Tan said, holding her hand up to her mouth. Damn! She never told me that this nigga was abusing her the whole time. Wow. What, really? I thought you read about the rapes earlier. He's also abusing you. Did you just think that you were the only one he abused? Like, at the age of, what is he, like, late 30s or something? That he just started the abuse cycle? Like, he was a great guy? And didn't Canary talk about, like, the problems they were having and the abuse earlier? Whatever, maybe I'm misremembering because a lot happens. She couldn't believe it at first. Then she started thinking of the way he treated her. Yeah, no shit. You had to think back? Didn't it just... You're poisoning him for it. You're like, oh yeah, this way I poisoned him. I'm shocked, really? The guy who abuses and rapes me was abusive and rapey with his exes? And the abuse he subjected her to. Wickedly, she smiled. There's a big difference between Canary and me. She frowned like she was really talking to GladEye. A bitch like me is not going down without a fight. Trust and believe that. What's that? You love me? Oh, really? Tan began conversing with an invisible GladEye. Then she remembered that the diary that she was reading. She kept reading through the accounts of Canary's life, like, oh shit, yes, I'm reading a book. She was deeply engrossed in the diary until she heard a car pull up to the front of her house. She peeped out of the little attic window and noticed that it was GladEye going into the garage. Oh, shit, she said, putting the book back exactly where she got it from immediately after marking her page. Tan slipped out the passageway in the closet and jumped down into her bedroom, then quickly walked into Spall's room to make sure that he was still asleep. She's like all these secret tunnels, like it's fucking Disney. Just as she was covering him back with his blanket, she felt a hand on her shoulder. Oh, shit. Damn, you scared me, she said, turning to face a smiling GladEye. He's like, why does my office smell like moist middle? What were you doing in there? Were you moistening your middle? Flicking the old moist middle. Sorry, it's just the worst term. And he keeps saying it. It's... Yeah, like what I should have done for April Fools is like an FXF where I just keep calling it your moist middle and everyone dies. And they're like, I can't hear you as sexy anymore, Dangerous. It's impossible. You've killed it for me, you son of a bitch. Like, oh, the most powerful audio ever.
Come into the dining room, please,
he said as he led her back downstairs into the spacious dining room.
Wow. What is this? Wow, what is this?
She asked, smiling from cheek to cheek. That's terrifying. As she was impressed with the layout that was displayed before her. Well, no shit.
Well, he said slowly. This is just to show my appreciation to my beautiful wife and stepmother to my son. I really appreciate you,
he said before kissing her on the forehead.
Mwah.
Oh, thanks, honey. That is so sweet.
Tan whined. I guess she was whining.
Oh, thanks, honey. That is so sweet.
There, it's fucking awful. I hate it, too.
But you're sweeter,
he said as he pulled out the chair for Tan to sit down. She's poisoning you, you rapist. Quit this. This is a play pretend bullshit. Quit it. You can't paint over this dung heap of a relationship. You can't do it. It's fucked, man. Okay. Tan thought to herself as she sat down. That was also in italic, so I got very confused.
What is this motherfucker up to?
That was a weird choice. Motherfucker as one word. You need to do two A's or two ERs. It doesn't work otherwise.
What is this motherfucker up to? We've been together for almost 2 years now, and he has never done anything like this before. And he didn't call me Canary.
You really got it made, bitch. She smiled to herself. Wow, maybe during sex he won't make you wear the bag tonight.
You got it made.
Is he gonna let you eat at the table today, too? Use utensils like a fucking human goddamn being? He remembered who you were? What the fuck is this all about? She's like, wait, you mean he doesn't have brain damage? Hold on. Looking at her expression. Well, yes. Glad I spoke up.
I know you think I'm probably crazy, but I'm sorry for taking you for granted and treating you not so nice at times.
Minimizer of the Year award goes to GladEye. Not so nice, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, your felony charges of not so nice in the first degree. Ah, beautiful. Beautiful. Not so nice. I have what a downplay. We need to just replay that like some sports great moment. Not so nice ways. Don't worry. I know I raped you and almost murdered you and then raped you again and again and assaulting you and again and all the time. But you didn't poison me and I brought you some Italian take food. So we're good, right? I know I was not so nice, but I'm nice once, and the scales are balanced. If you say anything, I might be not so nice again. Shut the fuck up and eat your goddamn supermarket Italian food, honey. He got two bottles, the finest California Moscato. All right, let's see. he said as he fixed her plate and poured the meat a glass of wine. Glad I was trying his best to make up for secretly accusing his wife of trying to kill him. Yes, you told us. What is this, David Bramer all over again? Get off the moon. This is not what we're doing. We're not doing this. You already told us that. Shut the fuck up. We read it before. I'm having flashbacks. Post-traumatic literary distress syndrome and PTLD. Post-traumatic literary distress. That's what I call it. And, very terrifying. Stop repeating your goddamn self. After dinner, Glad I carried Tan upstairs and laid her on her back. One by one, he softly and gently took off every article of clothing that she had on. Then he stripped down to his boxers. You know, the fact that you're carrying her and you're stripping her down makes it sound like she's unconscious. Then he stripped down to his boxers. Oh no, we have to do another sex scene. As his manhood peeked at Tan through the slit, there's an eye. Head of his dick, it's an eye at the end.
Hold that thought,
Glad I said, holding up his index finger. He walked to their master bedroom. Oh, bathroom. Then returned with exotic rubbing oils. Ooh. He rubbed some oil into his hands, then gently started massaging Tan's temples. And then he slid down her neck and shoulders. Oh, good. I hope he gets to that middle. Oh, my God. Tan let out a sigh. Oh, no. I do say it. I glanced ahead. That feels so good. The smell of the oil had her middle on fire. Wow, my middle's on fire eating this, too. Woo! As Glad I worked his way over to Tan's upper chest area. With both hands, he massaged her breast so intently that she felt an orgasm brewing. What? You got orgasmic titties? Teach me your power. Oh, God! She moaned as his hand slid down her stomach, then to the middle of her legs. With both hands, he spread her thighs in opposite directions. Well, yes, if you push them together, that's going to make it hard to get to the middle. Then he went to the middle of her thighs, to the area between her inner thighs and the outside lip of her juiciness, and began softly massage the left side first. Tan let out a sigh. As her breathing began to get heavy, he slid his entire oily hand Such a hot term.
His entire oily hand? I've seen this German fisting video before.
Entire oily hand over the outside of her womanhood. Thank God it wasn't a middle this time. Amazing. Letting his finger lightly touch her clit before rotating to the other side of her thigh.
It's like a robot.
Tan was beside herself as she started gyrating her hips.
You want this dick, huh?
Glad I teased as he kept massaging her right inner thigh. Every once in a while, he would touch her clit and his hand would be soaked. Her clit is leaking? Why is her clit so wet? The clit is above the vagina. What's going on? Why is it so wet? Her clitoris is soaking his hand. Is she... How?
Yes, I want you so badly. I could taste you.
But there was a comma between badly. So it's like, yes, I want you so badly. Also, I could taste you, which is weird. Is he smells so strongly, you can taste him in the air. This is why she won't go down on him.
Tan was practically begging for GladEye to go inside of her.
Yeah, I know. GladEye reached over to her vagina and spread it open. And then he bent down and began licking it. Inside her vagina? As if he were licking a scoop of ice cream on a hot summer's day. Tan was going crazy. Her middle began squirting her love juices. And GladEye was drinking it. As if her juices were water from the fountain of youth.
Look, I get that squirting is a thing. I also know that it comes primarily from the bladder, okay?
Do with that information what you will. It is mostly urine. He is drinking it with delight. And if that's your thing, cool, go for it. No shame here. Just thought, you know, doesn't do it for me. Doesn't do it for me. If it's your thing, great. Doesn't do it for me. He's sitting there, big macho man, drinking her piss, happy as a clam. Go for it, piss baby.
Damn, girl.
He said as he came up for air. Free Willy. Tan reached down and grabbed GladEye and guided him into her. She just couldn't take it anymore. Wait, he was eating your pussy. How were you able to grab his dick? How big is his dick? Did he come up for air and crawl on top of you, or did he just come up and his dick is so large that it extends past his face? Okay, I'm sorry. I got really confused about the positioning here for a second. And I was like, well, how did that even work? Also, her clit is still spewing fluid. She spews everywhere. Do they even, like, protect the bed, or do you have, like, I hope you have a mattress protector on that thing. Anyway, she guided his gigantic, like, 3-foot-long dick into her. She just couldn't take it anymore. I mean, they did say it's big. Maybe it's like circus big. The way that his manhood throbbed, she knew the feeling was mutual. Yeah, he's fucked you before. You know he's attracted to you. Before their heated love sessions was over, GladEye managed to stick himself in every hole on Tan's body, and she welcomed him. Really? Her nostrils? Her ears? Okay, that's fucking weird. Her urethra? Detective Riggins. Oh, it's Riggins. Is Riggins here too? I bet he is. Detective Riggins sat at his desk with the receiver of his phone to his ear as Mrs. Fry was giving him directions to her apartment. He had finally gotten in contact with the adoption agency, and they had got him in contact with the birth parents of Canary and Tan.
Okay, thank you. I will be there in about 5 minutes,
he said, pulling up to the unkempt apartment complex. The thugs that decorated the exterior of the building ensured that it stayed that way. It kind of makes it sound like they're the landlords. Although his office was located in the Tidewater area of Virginia Beach, he was somewhat familiar with the Richmond area of Virginia because he had lived there some years ago, and this was one of the poorest areas in Richmond. Before Detective Riggins even got out of his car, he unfastened the holster to his revolver for easy access. He wasn't taking any chances. The men that stood in front of his sedan moved out of the way as he walked down the aisle leading to the entrance to the building. Even though he was dressed in a suit, they could smell that he was a law enforcement officer, as the bacon. "Fellas," he nodded as they mumbled and cleared the way. When he walked into the building, Mrs. Fry was standing in the doorway with her door cracked.
"Detective?"
she asked, unsure as he entered the building and walked her way. "Yes, ma'am," he answered as he took off his snap cap kangle and entered her place. "Wow," he said as he entered her foyer area. "You have a nice place here." It caught Detective Riggins off guard because the inside of the place had been remolded. The foyer was decorated in ceramic tile. The ceiling was designed with swirls that one would find in some of the ancient buildings. That's weird. I can't imagine it's what. You know, the old building swirls. We all know the swirls.
"Thank you. Please come this way,"
Mrs. Fry directed him with her hands, like she's guiding an airplane, as he walked into the living room. The sofas and even the built-in plasma was white. He was almost afraid to sit down. He didn't know what Mrs. Fry was into, but judging from the apartment, she apparently still had money left from the drugs she once sold. Mrs. Fry began to cry when Detective Riggins told her about Canary.
"Oh, although I'd given up my parental rights at birth, there's still a special bond between a mother and her baby,"
she explained.
"But the other one is still alive, correct?"
The other one. "Could tell which one she prefers," she asked, wiping her eye. She's one eye. Only one can cry. She's very old. "Correct," Detective Riggins replied. "Can you tell me a little about what led you to give your daughters up for adoption?" She explained to Detective Riggins how the kids were taken away from them in a drug raid and how they became orphans. She and her husband were sentenced to 25 years and labeled as kingpins. I mean, that's cool, though. I'd take the label. 25 years would suck, but kingpin label? Hell yeah. Her husband ended up dying in prison of kidney failure. She also told the detective how she had requested that they keep the twins together, but she knew that her request would go on deaf ears because she was just a drug dealer to the system. Well, and a kingpin. That's like a big deal. She managed to keep up with their whereabouts until they were at least 5 years old, then after that it was as if they had vanished. Mrs. Fry was a very attractive woman, although prison had hardened her. Her attractiveness still oozed out of her pores. Sounds hot. You could tell that she was not like me. It says well-read, and I'm clearly not. The irony. The irony is what I'm saying. You could tell that she was a well-read woman with poise and class by her mannerisms. Hey, I can be fancy too. It's calling me out. After she finished speaking, Detective Riggins began. Hey, Riggins hasn't showed up yet. Is he okay?
"I am really sorry to have to bring bad..."
Oh, wait. Never mind. This is a detective. I got this. "I'm really sorry to have to bring bad news your way. I know you've committed a crime, but as far as I'm concerned, you've paid your debt to society." Mrs. Fry smiled.
"I appreciate you saying that, detective."
"Well, it's true, and I only wish that I had better news, but I would like to take you to meet your other daughter," he said. "I also just want to say congrats to you for making it out of prison and staying out thus far." Thus far? Jesus, wait a... kind of negative, he said sincerely. She'd been out for almost 2 years and was doing well with an online consulting business. After agreeing to meet the next day, the detective advised Mrs. Fry that he would see her at his office and take her to Tan's house. After the detective left, Mrs. Fry began to prepare herself mentally for the meeting with her only living child. All right. Ah, chapter 13. Should we do it? I think this is the last one. Last chapter in the book. Or should we save it for next time? What should we do? It looks like this chapter is pretty long. So I might save it for next time, but yeah, it's pretty long. We'll save it for next time. Just to save my poor, delicate voice, the last one's chapter 13, Unlucky 13, and you can let me know still in the comments if you want to continue on to part 2 of The Hornex Door, or if you would like me to pursue something else. Anyway, hopefully you will join me back again next week, and we can torture our minds some more with The Hornex Door. And yes, I know it rhymed. It wasn't on purpose. I hate it. Anyway, hopefully I'll see you here again next week. Bye, guys. Mwah.